Oh, yeah. Thank you to our new sponsor, Tommy John Underwear. Tommy John's breathable, lightweight fabric has four times the stretch of competing brands. Anthony loves it because it comes with a no-wedgie guarantee. Plus, they feature a horizontal quick-draw fly. Go to TommyJohn.com/JRVP right now for 20% off your first order. 20% off at TommyJohn.com/JRVP. TommyJohn.com/JRVP. See site for details. Anthony's wearing them right now. He wishes he was wearing a little dad grass. Give the gift of dad grass for the holiday season. Now available for everyone in the family. Dad, mom, for tokers, droppers, and poppers alike. You and your loved ones can chill out without getting them stoned to the bone. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/JRVP. Go to dadgrass.com/JRVP for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/JRVP. Roman, if you're experienced ED, there is help. Right now, Roman has a special offer for our listeners. Use this link to get 20% off your first order. Just go to ro.co/JRVP today. That's ro.co/JRVP today. That's genuine FDA-approved medication for as little as $4 per dose. Helix is back. The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, mattress for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. Helix is up to giving up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/JRVP with Helix. Better sleep starts now. Finally, it's Athletic Greens giving you a one-year free supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Athletic Greens makes it so easy to get the vitamins you need every day with just one scoop. Visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP for a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. That's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Don't look so tired while I'm doing it, rubbing your eyes as if you couldn't be bothered to listen to that beautiful reading, Anthony.
I listened to it. It was good.
It was great. You know what else is great? A jump rope stuck in a bladder. Comedians that would do well in The Challenge and frogs where they shouldn't be. Those are all coming up on episode 182 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project. JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Do not whine. Do not complain. Work harder. Spend more time alone.
I like it when Anthony Cardigan Boy gives us a little wisdom to start the show like that.
That's a Joan Didion quote.
Okay.
Joan Didion is having an estate sale. It's actually, the auction is tomorrow. And as soon as I heard about it, I was like, oh, I've got to get something. And I looked and it was like, I was like, okay, here's, I could get some of these things. And now it's been weeks and it's tomorrow. And I'm like, there's no way. I'm not going to bid on anything. There was some kind of cool stuff.
Why? Because they're too expensive now? It's online?
It's too, it's online right now.
Send me a link.
It's too expensive for like what it is, where there were a couple pictures that I liked. Like one is like Patti Smith took a picture, took a photograph of Hermann Hesse's typewriter and had given that to Joan Didion with like an inscription. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool to like put in your desk. And now it's like $5,000. It's like the things that are, it's not the money is the reason I don't want it. It's that this stuff feels like it's all the stuff that her like actual family and friends didn't want.
Of course.
That they're like, okay, we'll give this away. That I'm just like, it feels, and it's all going to charity. But there was a desk of theirs that she and her husband had brought from California. It was like a wedding present. They brought it to New York. It's like a beautiful desk, really old. But to ship it from New York would be such a pain in the ass that I decided I'm not going to get anything.
A desk would be cooler or something like that that would have some use. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is Joan Didion's desk. Then some personal handwritten note of like, oh, yeah, this was old Herman's photograph. Like, I love you. And you feel like you're trespassing to own that. I don't think it would feel
right. Yeah, it didn't feel like something that I actually wanted. And there's a couple like photographs of Joan that she had in her house. I call her Joan. That were like, okay, but still, I didn't want to get it on the estate. So I decided not to.
When you have a tattoo of someone, you can just call her by their first name.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that being, you know, public information, what kind of tattoos you have?
No. We've talked about this before. I don't know why you're bringing it up now.
I don't remember.
You don't remember me saying don't introduce information. If I bring something up, you can talk about it.
So many rules to being
just the one
co-host.
Really. Just that and don't interrupt me. If I sound like I'm in a bad mood, I'm not. I was in a bad mood. I got here early to All Things Comedy and I was locked out. I guess everyone was in a meeting. Aaron is doing a podcast in here, which I understand, but I'm just like, I came in hot. I had to go to the bathroom so bad. And I had like maybe half an hour before we did the show. And then I was just locked out and I just sat there having to pee more and more. And then Greg came in also having to pee. And
just a couple of guys in their 40s.
Having to pee in the lobby. And I yelled at Greg for sure.
I mean, that was ridiculous. I came in and I was like your knight in shining armor. And you treated me like I was nothing. Because I remembered a couple weeks ago that I actually got the code to get in. And I thought, okay, I'm going to save the day here. But it was very tricky to get the... I couldn't figure out how to get the code thing to work. Meanwhile, you're like yelling at me like I'm your little bitch.
Yeah.
Like I'm your assistant. And I'm the one holding the key to your bladder. And when I did open the door finally, like, did I get a thanks? No. Like you fucking yelled more.
I didn't yell
more. So I slammed the door in your face, which was a good bit.
I did use the bathroom first. But you were like, I got the code. And then you were like, it's not working. I don't know. Should I text Aaron? Text Aaron.
Yeah, and I did. And he was doing a show, and I'm trying to press it. You weren't doing anything to help. It was very, very Jesselnik. It's like, if I don't hit the right music cue, you're yelling, but you're not doing it. You're not doing anything to help. And I saved the day. Otherwise, you'd have pee in your pants. You're just an old man.
You think I would have pissed myself? You don't think I would have gone outside and found somewhere to go?
You said you were threatening, though. You seemed in a very rough mood. I don't know if it's gotten that much better.
Me and my most angry is having to pee. Really, having to pee really bad, same. I will lose it. If I ever had road rage... If you ever hear of me getting arrested for road rage, it will be because I had to pee and I was stuck in traffic and I lost my mind.
Like, I stopped on the way, I think it was to Vegas, or maybe it was to this tennis tournament we went to with our family, you know, at the side of the road at a rest stop just to pee. And that was like a moment where I was like, I'm really aging. This is like the sign of an aging man. Because I don't think that had ever happened before, but I had to do it. This is what's happening to us.
You think that's an age thing? They're just having to, like, it's not like you...
It's not like I never had to pee before. But I think in the past, it's just like, I'll wait till one kid needs it. It's not necessary.
Aaron, how old are you?
I just turned 40.
Do you remember, happy birthday. Thank you. Welcome to the 40 Club. We're all members. Do you remember the first time you had to pee? Was it recent? No?
I'm just saying that I stopped a trip and no one else needed to, just for myself. You know, usually I'm kind of like, okay, let's go as far as you can. Let's get there. Let's get there as quickly as possible.
Were you drinking coffee?
Just water, I guess, you know?
It's diuretic. Yeah, I drink coffee on my way over here. And so I was like, all right, I gotta use the... I thought about eating on my way here. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get there early. Use the bathroom, read, maybe they'll have snacks. And then I was just in the lobby, furious.
We've really made a meal out of this piss story here.
I don't like being locked out. I don't know why you have the code. I don't have the
code.
You
actually, you called you got your manager to like call people around the office. It was like a 5-alarm fire.
I was like, I'm sitting here because it says like ring the doorbell and wait. And I'm like, no one's coming.
That's happened to me multiple times here. I don't always have to pee, but yeah.
I ring the doorbell and someone comes, but I'm like, the parking lot's full. People are here. What's happening? And I had to wait until you saved me.
I just forwarded you the email. Now it's on you if you can't find that email in the future the code.
Oh, you think that solves everything? You think I'm just going to keep that email? I'm deleting that as soon as
just
I can.
Just search ATC in your email box. This is what I mean. You're giving up responsibility.
You could also text me. I come running for Jeselnik.
So if I had texted you while you were doing a podcast, you would have gotten up and left the room?
Yeah, because when Greg got here, we were almost done. So I couldn't leave, but like...
I got hit.
I probably could have run out.
But you don't know when I ring that doorbell.
No. It used to ping all of our phones, but that function broke.
Okay.
We should do like a whole hour just on this.
We could. Should we talk about the contract situation being resolved?
Wow. Okay. I didn't know we were going there. Yeah.
Yeah, we have re-upped with All Things Comedy. Congratulations, Aaron. We are here for at least another year. It's a 1-year contract, but we like it here. We're going to stick around. We'll be in the studio.
Yeah, we got the beautiful picture of seaweed behind me. If you're watching our show on YouTube, we've had some inquiries about upgrading the studio because of Anthony. Anthony's pushing for that, so I'm looking forward to that. Aaron, how have you enjoyed having more work to do without any extra compensation, I assume?
Hasn't reached my ears yet, so that's good.
No, I just mean this show has more work to do. And ultimately,
I wouldn't say it
is. It's like added to your plate.
What are the other podcasts? I got to think we're the best podcast that you produce. In terms of like, it's fun to be in the room with two best friends, one of them who's mad all the time.
I do a lot of shows.
Wait, you can't pick favorites? At least pick your least favorite.
I shouldn't.
No. Yeah, what's your least favorite?
Can't do it.
Okay.
Most likely to not make it back for 2023.
My least favorite just left.
Are we the funniest?
Ooh.
Love.
Why are they? Ooh, why are they your least favorite? Because you have the most work to do, or because it's not funny?
Yeah, the latter.
Okay, but it's not supposed to be funny, right? They're not trying to be funny, and they're failing.
I mean, it's All Things Comedy.
Yeah, it seemed like a weird fit.
Okay, makes sense. They don't. But a JRVP fits you like a glove. Is what you're saying?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. It's really making it my catchphrase here.
I saw a great movie this weekend, Greg, that I was like, oh, I wish I had seen it with you, actually. I want you to see it and talk to me about it. It's called The Banshees of Inisherin. Do you ever see In Bruges?
No, we talked about it.
The guy, the same director, he did like three billboards outside whatever the fuck, Missouri. And he made this one. It's the same guys from In Bruges, Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, I believe is his name. And it's like about like male friendship. They live on this island, and the one guy just like tells Colin Farrell one day, he's like, I don't like you anymore. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. I have like shit to do. And then like it's everything that falls out of that. But it's a great. It's like just under 2 hours, and the whole you'd think it'd be boring. But it's not at all. And I absolutely loved it.
Sounds like my type of movie. I'm usually into female friendship. Did you see this though as like a kind of a fantasy of like, what if I did that? What if I did that to my old buddy Greg?
I mean, I've done it to all my other friends. but we're sticking around. We've monetized this. It's forever.
Well, not Lloyd. We had dinner with Lloyd last weekend, and he's been around since we first came out to LA. He's the man who brought us out to LA, and here we are having dinner with him 20 years later.
Yeah,
so you haven't gotten rid of him.
We've had dinner 5 times in between those two. Like, it's not if you want to see me once a year, we can be friends. You want to see me more than that? It's going to be an issue. Like, I'm about to not announce. I'm booking more tour dates for next year, summer, fall, and past that. And I know it's like once I get to the major cities, every city has like one person from my past who wants to hang out. It's like either high school or college friend who's not like moved on in their life but lives there and wants to hang out while I sit and watch them drink while they complain about whatever the job is, no matter what the job
is. Wow.
Yeah.
I hope they're not listening. And if you are listening and you think, oh, that friend couldn't be me, it's you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're a friend and you're listening to this, it's you. If you knew me
Lloyd listens.
Lloyd's great. I had a great time with
Lloyd. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't remember anything we really talked about, but Lloyd's cool.
The holes in your cardigan are distracting. So cardigan boy is coming strong. Like, I support Anthony. He's growing up. He's changing. He's trying on new things. He's cardigan boy now. But the holes, I'm just staring at the holes.
I like the holes.
It just feels like something that won't be the trend in 2 years, and then you'll just have holes in your cardigan.
Do you think I buy clothes thinking to the future? Do you think I'm like, I hope this still makes sense in 2 years? I love a pre ripped up piece of clothing. This is a cashmere cardigan. I got it 60% off, and it has the holes. It looks dirty. It's supposed to look dirty on purpose.
But the holes are intentional, clearly, right? Yes. They're not truly mothballs or anything.
No, it's on purpose. I love it. It's my favorite. Even when I showed Liz, I was like, should I get this? She was like, I don't know. And I got in, she tries to steal it all the time. It's the best.
Okay.
I don't need your cardigan judgments. You know, one thing I'm actually in a better mood about is I've been having horrible, horrible back pain on the last few weeks of this tour. I don't know what it is, but it's been getting away from me. And I went and got acupuncture for the first time in like 5 or 6 years, and it fucking helped so much. Korean woman, a few blocks away from me, found her. I don't know when she opened the office, but I looked up acupuncture. Was able to walk down the street, hooked it up. Stick the needles all, like, I was like, my back hurts. And she's like, let me stick needles in like every place but your back. Wait 25 minutes and see if you feel better. And I was annoyed. And then I woke up this morning and was like, oh, that's so much better. Opened up my psoas. Put one in the toe.
Put one in your toe? Wait, did she, where else?
She put it in, like, I would land on my back. She put in the two behind my, in, like, behind my neck, in like the back of my neck. One in my right toe, one in my left knee. And then right above my hip bone on either side.
And that sounds like fun to me. I'm not, fun's probably the wrong word.
It is the wrong word.
But I like the idea it sounds wrong, but I like the idea of like sharp pain. I think that sounds good. You know, as you get older, you start understanding yourself a little more. And that doesn't, I like it.
I forget how most of the country feels about acupuncture. It almost like if you, it's being home in Pittsburgh like a couple years ago, someone was talking about some like back pain or something. I was like, oh, try acupuncture. And they were like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's like the needles. They put needles in you. And they looked at me like I was like telling them about some like mystical.
Really?
Yeah. And I think in a lot of the country, people just see it as like a pseudoscience, and it's not at all. It is totally legit. I've had acupuncture, I've had chiropractors, and acupuncture is the better thing. I love it. So I'm going to be going every week now until my back pain is totally gone, and I can sit in the car for more than 20 minutes without fucking losing my mind.
I just like that we got to like a place. This is the closest thing I have to therapy that I think that I would get to, you know, in therapy. That it just, like, this sounds weird, but I feel like my body is not that sensitive. Like I don't feel pain that much. So when they actually give you something that you're supposed to feel, like a tattoos, like I miss the sensation of getting the actual sensation of getting it is one of, if not my favorite part about it. I almost feel like I crave that. It feels good to have
that. I agree with you 100%.
Okay. So is acupuncture like that?
No, it doesn't hurt at all.
Oh, it doesn't.
It's like a little, like it's less than getting a shot or something. Like you feel the needle going in, but you don't really feel like you're getting stabbed.
But when it's like 100 of them, it'd be like getting 100 shots.
What's 100 times zero?
How many of your acupuncture? Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, there's no
pain. I guess it's not for me then.
You would like it. I mean, you would love it, but there's no pain. Okay. But I like that you want to be hurt. You want someone to hurt you.
I mean, that's not the right way to say it, but yeah, a little bit. I bet there's some listeners out there who kind of know what I'm saying.
How'd you feel about Jay Leno lighting his face on fire this week?
I mean, I don't know the details beyond the headline. I did not click the link, if that's... Like beyond, I saw a headline: Jay Leno suffered serious burns.
Yeah, there's no pictures or anything, and I don't think they're serious. They said it's like his like eyes not affected. It's like his face, so it's not good. But his eyesight.
I didn't know it was his face. My former boss, I was a page at the Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't know he was my boss, but
I like that you said you would have to answer phones like one day a week, and that people would just call up and like ask for Jay. They wanted to talk to Jay. About how come their headline hadn't gotten on yet.
They would send emails and
yeah. I like Jay Leno. I have friends who try to text me jokes, and I was like, nope, I'm Team Jay. I like Jay a lot. I guess if you work on if you own hundreds of cars and you're always working on them, chances are you're going to light your face on fire at some point. But I'm a Jay Leno. I'm a Jay Leno stan, and I hope Jay's a fast recovery.
Everyone that worked there genuinely liked working for him and loved him, which you just can't say about any line of work. Like you find out the truth from the production assistants and the people that are the lowest on the totem pole, and they all liked him. So that means a lot to me, actually.
Yeah, it sounded like he was a great boss. Always nice to me. I had second to last weekend of the 2022 20th anniversary tour in Brea.
Well, that's why you're in a bad mood. You've been on the road too long.
I mean, I got to drive to those shows, and they were great shows. Brea is the biggest comedy club in the country. Sold out 5 shows, so it was a fun weekend. Got one last weekend in Ontario. It's not the biggest comedy club, but again, I get to drive there, which is nice. And then I'm done for the year. I've got another like little over a month to write some new stuff and add it to the pile before I go back out in January. But I had a meeting today about what fall tour dates are going to look like, and people are going to be happy. So I will announce them when I can. I'm sure it'll be, you know, 2, 3, 4 months from now, but I will keep you guys posted.
Right. If you're emailing us, I know we're not the email corner yet, but you can at jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. Please stop emailing about which cities you want Anthony to go to. We're not passing that along. It's not going to have any effect. I mean, I don't want to be involved in this, and then it just gets ignored.
Yeah, that reminds me. Apparently, I don't remember saying this at all. I don't remember saying this at all, but apparently last week I said, if you want to be my assistant, get in touch with my manager's assistant and put your resume in the pile. And I got an email today that was either. Like, she was like, my manager was like, what did she do to hurt you that you opened this up to her? And she's like, she's getting a lot of emails. And I'm like, are they joking around or do they want the job? She's like, oh, they want the job.
Yeah, of course
and
they do.
I would not hire someone like a podcast listener. I'm already
waiting. You never know. I mean, you actually could be missing out on your next great assistant. But I understand the instinct that it would be hard to know out of the listeners, like, who's the great candidate or not. I guess that's why you get ZipRecruiter.
Yeah. I got to have them use ZipRecruiter to help me out. But, yeah, I couldn't imagine hiring a fan to be my assistant. It's just too – it's weird. You're going to have access to personal information. It creeps me out.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I almost think less of people when I find out they listen to my podcast. Not that I think less of them as people, but I don't like the uneven relationship that immediately establishes that you're listening to me and I'm not listening to you.
I'll go even further. I'll say when people tell me to listen to the podcast, I think of them as subhuman scum. Like, I don't even see them as people anymore. They're like cockroaches to me. Like, listen, I appreciate the listeners, but if you meet me in person, you're a cockroach to me.
That's not true.
Do you remember the girl? There was a girl who emailed.
You're very nice.
There was a girl. I think everyone should listen to the podcast. I remember there was a girl who emailed to be like, "Hey, I'm a big fan. Yeah. I just want to tell you something. I used to work for Amazon, and I once went into your account and saw all the things you've ever bought on Amazon. Sorry, I did that. I just couldn't help myself.
What?
Would you do me a favor? And I was like, delete this email. I don't ever want to know.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This happened. I don't think you were aware of it. Like, our old producer emailed it to me and was like, hey, I got this email and I just wanted you to be aware. And I was like, don't respond ever. But it was a very creepy way to like, oh, yo, cool. Yeah, you were looking through. And I don't know. I wouldn't be like afraid of my Amazon purchase list over the years getting out there, but I would not want it to get out there. I do not know what kind of weird shit I've bought at Amazon at 4 in the morning. Quite a bit.
So you think you'll do a special off of this
at some point eventually? I kind of talked about that. Like, special, like, people ask a lot about when's the next special, what's happening. The things are changing so much. Like, my agent was like, in 6 months, things will be different. The way Netflix does it, things will be different. If there's another writer's strike, it'll be way different. That Amazon's getting in the mix now, trying to do specials. We're going to wait and see how that goes. HBO.
Might be my former, my future boss, Amazon. Supposedly they could buy NFL Media. I have no information. I'm basing this on reports.
Would the NFL sell NFL Journal. Media?
Yeah, it's been widely reported that they are, and that Amazon, I believe Apple was one of the companies mentioned.
That?
This is all from the Sports Business Journal. They don't tell us anything. When we had our little quote-unquote talent summit, that's all anyone was asking, like the executives, and they were just like, of course we're not telling you anything. And it still hasn't happened, so I don't know.
Why would they do that? If they control their own media, you would think that's like what the NFL likes. And I assume they wouldn't. Yeah, but they have money. The
right,
NFL prints money.
I get it, but the NFL media, they view as like a it's got to like be a self-contained thing that generates its own profit. I don't know.
Goodell's getting greedy.
I don't know. It was on my mind because I saw the Grammys had their nominations today and the specials. And the once again, they've nominated Louis C.K. So after getting quote-unquote canceled, both him and Dave Chappelle are both nominated.
Louis Chappelle. I mean, it's the most unimaginative list you could imagine.
It's like Chris Brown has a bunch of nominations. Don't talk about canceling anything.
I tell you who I like who got nominated this week. Wet Leg. What
really?
Leg?
They
what
did.
Leg is like best alternative and best new whatever. Best new performer. So I'm rooting for Wet Leg and no one else. But yeah, the Grammys and Emmys for stand-up comedy are a joke every year. They never like nominate anyone interesting, and no one interesting ever really wins. And now it's time for. Did we get any notes?
Did we get any notes?
I've got a note for the listeners. Greg, I always say how much I love the listeners, how much respect I have for people who listen to the podcast. I will say thank you. In the last couple of weeks since the Kanye thing happened, and like he's talked about how my opening joke was so high level that made him realize he's not funny. A lot of people have been asking, what is that opening joke? And I love that people who are listening to the podcast are fans who have been coming to the shows hearing this opening joke, heard me work out in LA, have not put it online. No one has spoiled it. No one has even given like the topic. And the most I've seen is, I don't want to ruin it. You should definitely go see it. It's great. So thank you for that. I appreciate fans that protect me in my art.
I've heard it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I still want to find out, but I'll find out when we get off. I've got a note. You didn't even throw it to the week. Throw it to me during the week, see how my week was.
We were talking for quite some time. I assume.
Okay, you just assumed. Well, I don't want to jump in. I don't want to interrupt. So I interrupted. Did we get any notes?
What else happened in your week? How mad is your wife at you?
She's not. I would say we're in a great place. Great enough. We were in, I'm just going to go with it here, a store buying stuffed animals, but it had some novelty stuff. And this is kind of like a, what would Anthony do? We're bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel like you would appreciate it. And it was like one of those novelty stores where they have some like goofy signs that in some are a little blue, and I didn't realize that. And we're just sitting in line to buy their stuffed animals. And Walker just goes to us, "What's a bitch?" So what would Anthony do in that situation? What would your response be?
I mean, I feel bad saying this, but my instinct, I would have been like, ask your mom, she'll tell you. Just walk out.
That's terrible.
That's what I would have done. What did you do? Would you say female dog?
I ignored it and pretended it didn't happen. And I was making the purchase, and I asked after the fact, and I forgot what Emeka said. She just, I think she did answer it in some way and tried to just, keep the conversation moving, move on.
Maybe, what I would have said? You gave me like a minute to think about what I was going to say. Ask me, you're Walker.
Right, I didn't want to prep you with this. And that's parenting sometimes. You're in the moment.
Sure.
No one tells you what's going to happen. And when he said it, I just was like, oh my God, I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen. But yeah,
you're Walker.
I'll be Walker. And this is genuinely how it happened. What's a bitch?
It's like cunt. It's another word for cunt.
And it was. Did we get any notes? Did we get any notes? That was. Did we get any?
I think that would be good to say to your kid.
Oh, that was the word that my mom didn't like on this show that got her so upset. Now I remember that we got a note about. We're going to have to beep this? Do we even have a beep?
We don't change the show for your mom.
Why not? She's one of our most loyal listeners.
When my mom complains about the podcast, I say, we don't do this for you. You can listen if you want to, but we don't do it for you. So,
okay.
And then she's never given us notes ever since. Your mom can be upset by the word. Your mom reads a lot. Your mom knows. Your mom's been called things. She knows what this word means.
It is strange because I think we say some objectionable things, but that word is where the line is for her. It's used much more commonly overseas. So
mm-hmm.
Just pretend that's the case here.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense in terms of what we're talking about. What would she have said if Walker asked asked her what a bitch is? She would have used the C word.
She would have said female dog. I think that's it's tricky, but I think that's the way to go. You know what time it is now for?
It's time for Email Corner.
It's email.
Emails have been around as long as, if not longer, than corners. We like to take a whole corner and put as many emails into it as we can, usually about three. And I like to let people email Greg at jrvpjrvicepresident@gmail.com. Ask him about my tour dates. Ask him what's going on. Try to apply to be my assistant. And you can ask some questions. We're getting some interesting ones, I think, even though I cut out a lot of these.
What do you mean you cut out? You edited them down, you mean?
No, I just, you give me like eight, and I'm like,
yeah, I give you a ton of options so that you can, you know, choose the best ones. This one is from a listener, Lauren, who says, Haley, Holly, and I flew from Dallas to Phoenix to see Anthony's anniversary show this past weekend. If you went to his shows and you're telling us that I did give you an edge in terms of making this email. She said it was a blast. It was a great show. Big fans of the podcast. We're all nurses in the Dallas area. Two ICU nurses, one labor, one delivery. Stressful job. Love to listen to comedy to balance out. I know you said you're big with nurses in general. You've mm-hmm. told me this.
Especially like trauma nurses, like little baby nurses. They love that shit.
I can imagine. It somehow makes sense to me. She says she recently heard in the labor and delivery department, a woman came into the OBGYN triage with the complaint, my vagina is rotting. When they examined her, they found two dead frogs in her vagina. When they asked her why she did this, she said, quote, I just like the feeling when they get to hopping around in there. How would you respond to this statement?
I mean, it's so funny that after talking about your mom hating the C word, we jump into this. Your mom's loving this right now. She is in the car, honking the horn, doing donuts, punching the ceiling. You got options as a nurse. First instinct, put the frogs back in. You know, maybe they're frogs like the WB frog that only does their little dance when no one's looking. Otherwise, you think they're dead. That's a possibility. You got to rule that out.
I mean, they're nurses. I think they can figure out if they're dead or not. But okay, yeah, put them back in.
Do you remember the frog I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
The Dubba Dubba?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't remember that he only dances when you're watching him, but I remember him dancing around.
Mm-hmm.
What a frog.
The guy who finds him is all excited. He wants to show someone this frog can dance and sing, but every time he shows someone, the frog seems dead.
Okay.
And he's alive. Maybe he's alone.
Yeah. Maybe he's just going back home to that.
I would have been like,
vagina.
Ma'am, I understand. Listen, we all like putting frogs in us and feeling them hop around. I got one up there right now. You got to use a leash, and when they stop hopping, you take them out. It's funny to me, the woman would just pick, oh yeah, that, oh I like those, and then to not know, hey, maybe the smell going on down there is from the dead frogs. Well, two of them, that means you put one in, it hopped around, and it was over. You were like, all right, let me double down, and then didn't think to pull them out.
Maybe there were two at once. It's like after a while, like you chew the same gum for a while. Like, you're going to start eating two pieces at once because you need more to really reach that first. That is the same thing with
frogs.
Can't
argue with the metaphor. Cannot argue with it. I support it. I wonder if she put both frogs in to fight each other. Like a Thunderdome kind of thing. I don't know if I even believe the story. I like it. Again, I think the move is to put the frogs back in. It's like, oh, you like it when they hop around? Here you go. Dead frogs in there. Don't bother me again about the smell.
I believe it. It occurred to me too, like if she's a huge fan, big enough fan to fly to Phoenix and her friends.
I think I heard about these women. I think someone who works at the club was like, oh yeah, I knew some women who flew in from Dallas.
Okay, like they would then be smart enough to sort of figure out what email would get on the show for sure. And this would be it. But crazy shit is always happening in these ERs and OBGYN triages. I believe it. It's so specific. It happened.
Aaron.
Yeah.
You're a nurse.
Yes, I am.
Old woman comes in, says things aren't smelling so fresh down there. You pull out two frogs. She says she likes the feeling when they hop around. What do you do?
I say, well, ma'am, well, we got to get you some new frogs.
Okay, you're yes anding. That's a good customer service. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that.
These guys are past due. We'll get you a couple new ones. Send you on your way.
They just keep them there in case.
Would you explain to the woman about the WB frog?
You know it.
Okay. We're all on the same page.
All right. Our next question asks, who are some comedians Anthony believes would do well in the challenge?
Okay. The Challenge, people know I enjoy that show a lot. It's like on Paramount Plus now. It was an MTV show I got into during the pandemic. Reality show. People are in teams. There's a big social game. And then there are physical challenges you have to get into. So, you know, I think due to the sheer physicality of it, I think guys like Rogan, obviously, Jim Gaffigan, I think would do well. Former athletes who kind of are a little bigger, push people around if they needed to.
Is there a lot of pushing? He doesn't seem like he's in great shape now necessarily. I just walked into it, but they wouldn't have come to mind first.
Gaffigan or Rogan?
Yeah, Gaffigan.
No, he was an athlete.
He was a football player, yeah.
Then and there's things that are like football players do very well. Okay. Would he nail everything? No, but I think he would do better than most. I think Eliza Schlesinger works out like 5 hours a day. I think she would do very well in the challenge. The women who do well on that show seem to be gym rats. But I think the biggest one, maybe the best comedian athlete who would run the table would be the Johnny Bananas, the CT, if you will, of the challenge would be Vince Champ. Vince Champ, I think, has all the tools. He's got the background. I think just Vince Champ all day, every day. Like, Aaron, who would you put your money on? Vince Champ, Joe Rogan, Jim Gaffigan, Eliza Schlesinger.
Oh, boy.
It's Vince Champ. It's Vince Champ, everybody.
I mean, you can't beat the name, but I know the story.
Yep. I just Googled Vince Champ, and now I get the joke.
Yep.
All right, our next email is...
I like to bring up Vince Champ whenever I can. Whenever I can bring up Vince Champ as an example of something, I like to do it. I name dropped him on Good Talk, and only comedians really get it. But every once in a while, I'll be in a green room at like a C-list comedy club, and I'll see Vince Champ's name on the wall, and I laugh every time.
What a name.
I think he's almost available to be on the show.
Is he getting out?
I believe so.
He was a winner of Star Search in 1992, and they don't get it
wrong.
That's
what he's known for. That's what he's famous for. Uh-huh. You Google him, that comes up, and then nothing else. But Vince Champ, everybody. Vince Champ all day.
Oh, no, never mind. He's still got a while.
Lauren, who is a 21-year-old listener, who said she recently went back and listened from the beginning.
I think if you're trying to get an email on the show, tell Greg your age. And if it's in the early 20s, you got a good chance at getting past old Greggy.
No, that's not true. I just like...
You're easily seduced.
I do like the fact that women and men listen. I like hearing the stories of how they're fans or whatnot. But that's ridiculous. I just, you know, I like to put a little bio so that they know who it is. If they mention it, I'll mention it. Shut up. Let's say you're standing alone, minding your business, when the most beautiful woman you've ever seen descends from the heavens. You can already tell she's exactly your type in all ways. She tells you she's actually God and that she's been watching you from above. She thinks you're really attractive and wants to start a relationship with you. However, she's only able to have sex with humans when in the form of a stag. Would you bone that stag? You're single in this hypothetical, and the stag still has her voice when she changes.
Let me see if I get this right. So I'm chilling. I'm just chilling outside, and I see a gorgeous woman descend from the sky. Descend from the sky like God. And I'm like, wow, look at this woman descending from the sky.
Yeah.
She's hot. She's beautiful. Oh, it's God? She wants to have a relationship with me because she thinks I'm pretty cute?
Yeah.
And then her question is, do you want to have sex with a stag? Like, this girl is so hot that it makes me want to have sex with a stag. A deer.
I enjoy that the one detail to keep in context is she keeps her voice when she changes into the stag. That's important to
what
know.
Do you sound like? What's the stag sound like when I'm having sex with
her? She's not going to neigh. I should Google, like, what is the definition of a stag? It's just a horse.
No, it's not a horse. It's a big
young
male
horse.
It's a deer.
Yeah.
That can be a young horse, like an unbroken horse. I think it can be.
You could not be more wrong. Why would you think the word could be something it's not?
If you look it up, it's a deer.
She's not even a female deer. She's a stag. It's a bro deer. I got to say, I'm turning that down. The relationship doesn't sound like it's that fun. Like, when we watch movies together, I'm a girl, but when we have sex, I'm a stag. And I feel like having sex with a stag, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get scratched by the antlers. You're going to get kicked by the hooves. And then it's going to be the hot girl saying, sorry, I don't get it. And also things like this, these kind of questions, these kind of rhetorical questions, it really comes down to like, would you believe them? Like I remember doing stand-up once and I was taking questions and someone screamed out, would you take it in the ass for world peace? And it was like, do you mean I'd believe you? Like if someone walked up and was like, if you let me fuck you in the ass, world peace. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like those are two different things. Like,
well, you have to accept that if you're going to go with the premise of the question here. Yeah.
So you could make, you could bring about world peace, but only if you fuck me in the ass. Well, I'm supposed to believe that?
Well, not if it actually happened in real life. And I would not believe it. Then again, if I saw a beautiful woman descend from the heavens and then she, like, I would want to see her turn into the stag. And if I could see that, I'd be like, okay, now I believe you.
I'll tell you what I would entertain. Yeah. Is if the woman comes down as God, but she's ugly. You know, it's like, do you want to date God? I'm a stag when we have sex. If the stag is more attractive than she is, then sure. But this sounds like she's so much hotter than the stag. The whole time you'd be like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Right. It is, I think, a flawed premise, because why would you ever want to have sex with a stag? You need something great to make up for it. And the fact that she used to be beautiful and is God, it just seems annoying. God would be a terrible person to have a relationship with. Like every relationship, ultimately, you want it to be on equal footing, but there's probably someone who ultimately kind of wears the pants in that relationship. And whose pants are bigger than God? Like that is not going to be an even relationship. You're going to be God's little bitch.
What's the point of dating God if God can't even have sex as themselves? They got to turn into a stag, and just a stag with their voice.
Maybe they're just, that's what they're into, though. They just like it that way. Like little stag sex.
Aaron, what would you do in this situation?
Why did you just stare at me after I said that?
I just don't believe that an omnipotent being that plays favorites like this.
But if you were an omnipotent being and you saw me, you'd be like, I want to turn into a stag and get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was Email Corner. Emails around the world unite. I saw I think it was on the Reddit, someone had a thread about why don't I take over the music stings. And I was so shocked. And luckily all the comments below it were like, well, you think Anthony would ever do that? I would rather end the podcast than be in charge of hitting the buttons. I love to make fun of you when you do it wrong. Not that you did it wrong there.
We're on fire tonight, although that was a little late. You know, in theory, we could edit out that little.
And now it's time for
ad copy.
Tommy John Underwear. Fall is chaos in your pants. You're overheating 1 second and freezing the next. To be ready for anything, you need underwear that can handle everything.
You know what? Let me stop you right here.
It's time for Tommy John Underwear.
Let me stop you right here.
Okay.
I've been waiting for something like this to come along. We've been doing the podcast for a few years now. We've done some ads, and we reject a bunch of ads. People ask us about certain things, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I've rejected a bunch this week. I'm just, a lot of podcasts do them, and I'm like, no, I can't wrap my head around. I can't endorse that. Everything we've done, I either approve of, or I like the idea of, or I use myself once they introduce it to me. This is the first ad we've had of something that I've used previously. During the pandemic, and listen, I wear nice clothes. I like nice underwear. I had like a very expensive brand name underwear I used for a lot of years. And then I was watching The Challenge. Not The Challenge. I was watching Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother during the pandemic. And Lamar Odom said, the best men's underwear by far is Tommy John. And I was like, I'm listening. I went and researched and I bought a couple pairs. And they are the most comfortable underwear. And they do their job. There's comfortable underwear. You're like, this is probably not even good for me health-wise. It's probably not that clean because it feels too comfortable. This is perfect. This feels like the best underwear in the world. This is all I wear. I am always wearing Tommy John. It's great to work out in. It's great to lounge around in. It's great under your clothes. It is the best underwear. If you want to wear the same underwear as me, and you do, get Tommy John.
Anthony could not wait to order this when he found out that they might be a sponsor. He was all fired up. He wanted to read the ad.
You know what? They sent me pajama pants and a pajama top thing, a little Henley, that I think are great, very comfortable. But I'm the underwear is what I'm like.
Right. They got some casual wear. They got some pajamas. But in the underwear, you're that much more comfortable, breathable, lightweight fabric, 4 times the stretch of competing brands, would come with a no wedgie guarantee thanks to a non-rolling waistband.
I didn't even think of that. I haven't had a wedgie in 2 years since I started wearing Tommy John's. I didn't realize they were responsible. I thought I was just getting lucky.
The hammock pouch support stops the awkward swing and slap, giving everyone something to be grateful
for. It's a fact.
People love it. Anthony loves it. Go to TommyJohn.com/JRVP right now for 20% off your first order. 20% off at TommyJohn.com/JRVP. TommyJohn.com/JRVP. See site for details.
Wear my underwear. Wear it.
All right, we got another ad right now. I got a little frog in my throat. Better than that.
You know, if you're a female listener, you want to just have the underwear that I would wear. I'm a medium. Get a bunch of mediums and just act like
weird.
Act like I came over the night before.
Weird. No need to stress over the holidays this year if you're looking for a great gift. Impossible to shop for. Family members can be covered with Dadgrass. It's something for everyone. It's true. Dadgrass is a great idea for gifts. It's impossible to know what to buy people. No one is ever upset when you get them a little Dadgrass. You can do it in pre-rolled joints, hemp flower, tinctures, gummies, and CBD dog bones.
Hmm.
You can get it for rummy. Give the gift of Dadgrass this holiday season, available everyone in your family. You may have heard about Dadgrass CBD joints, flower, and tinctures. It's 100% organic hemp to chill you out without getting you stoned to the bone. So it's a little lighter of a product that isn't going to just like lock you to your couch. I don't want that. I want something you can be around other people with. They've also got 100% organic pre-rolled joints and flower that are very low in THC, high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. All sorts of different flavored gummies. And don't forget your furry friends. They release those dog bones everyone in the house can enjoy. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over. Ships right to your door anywhere in the United States. That's anywhere. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/JRVP. Go to dadgrass.com/JRVP for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/JRVP. Should we do one more?
Let's do one more.
Okay.
For the kids.
Let's get Roman back involved. Look, 52% of men over 40 experience some form of erectile dysfunction in their life. If you're experiencing ED, there's help. Roman is the digital health clinic for men. Roman offers genuine FDA-approved medication for as little as $4 per dose. At Roman, no waiting rooms, no hassle, straightforward, convenient digital experience. It's a free online visit. You can do it on your laptop, your mobile device. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman sends it right to your door. Free 2-day shipping. Everything arrives in discreet packaging. $4 per dose. I mean, there's just not much in life that is that cheap. It's less than going to Starbucks. It's less than just about anything that you can do. Less than $4 per dose. Visit the website. Right now, Roman has a special offer for our listeners. Use the link. You get 20% off your first order. That's ro.co/JRVP today. Again, ro.co/JRVP. ro.co/JRVP for 20% off.
And that was ad copy. Let's get to headlines.
Ooh.
Headlines. You know, before we start headlines, we should tell people we not make the same mistake we did a couple weeks ago and say next week we are taking the week off.
Good note.
Thanksgiving, we are not going to be here. Studio will be closed. We would have come in. We would have happily come in here and chopped it up, but we're not going to.
Yeah, we also, I think the Christmas week, right after Christmas, we're off. You mentioned how, I just mean like the week after Christmas, we're off. It's not for a little while, but you mentioned how, you know, we do more shows than we were even required to do. So that it's going to be like 3 weeks off, sprinkled over 2 months here. So it's, you know, I know people missed their JRVP. People got on us last time.
They only got on us because we didn't tell them. They were like, what happened? What's going on? Are they in trouble or something? If we say we're taking a week off, everyone understands. We're busy.
Maybe we were in trouble too. But yeah, we will be back the week after Thanksgiving and close out this year strong. The headlines today, strong. Story so good. Anthony inserted it into the show at the last minute. Much like the man in the story inserted a jump rope into his wang. Yeah, that's right. A 79-year-old Japanese man somehow got a 90-inch jump rope stuck in his bladder after first shoving it into his penis. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about this.
Okay, here's what I gotta say. 79 years old, do what you want. Once you're over 65, you can stick anything up there. It's fine. It's not even embarrassing. What do you have to live for now? Put it up there. What shocks me, 90 inches is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that, like, don't you get your fix, you know, at 20 inches? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it feels like to put something up there. But I got to feel like once you get it in there an inch, it's the same feeling that you could just, like, take it and push it in and put it out. Once you get it all the way in and then it goes into your bladder, you can't get it out. You don't leave like 1 inch. You don't put 89 up there and leave 1 inch out so you can get it out again.
I mean, there's something we have a lot of kind of gross stories or disturbing stories, and it all, you know, bounces off of me pretty easily. I don't feel pain famously. That's why I love that acupuncture. But just reading this story and saying it and hearing you, like, it gives me the shivers. It gives me the creeps. Somehow, whenever we have the sticking up the penis stories, I can't deal with it. And the 90-inch rope, it's too much for me.
7.5 feet.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome. Thanks. I mean, that didn't make it better or worse, but yeah.
Aaron's going through old hospital bills. Trying to remember specifics. Aaron, what would you do if you lost the end of a 7.5 foot jump rope up your urethra?
Call a neighbor? I don't know.
A neighbor's not bad. Hey, neighbor. Let's say you had like a little bit sticking out still and you're like, I need this to go. I need this to figure out. Would you tie the end to a doorknob and then slam the door? You know, would that work? Like tie it to the end of a football and then kick the football. Maybe get it out that way.
Use it as like floss in some way.
I'll tell you what,
penis floss.
I would pretend that if I had like a little bit still sticking out, I would light it like a wick and then explode. Because life is over. I would honestly, that's a gots to go situation if I had 7.5 feet of jump rope up my urethra. He just said he didn't feel well. Until they x-rayed him, they were like, you're lying.
Yeah, he didn't say it. It got tangled apparently in inside of his body and got stuck and created a problem in his bladder. And he just went and said he was not able to pee. And then they started doing tests. So he did not give up that information, which I think that's normal. You're a 79-year-old man. You're not just going to say that. But then they realized that this was all from a medical journal. We do have pictures. So if you're watching on YouTube, I do want to show Anthony the x-rays where they first saw the rope. It looks like a kid drew a picture of what they think rope would look like inside of a body, but these are actual x-rays. And then, Anthony, I want you to look at the actual rope after they took it out of the body, because that's pretty, it's pretty disturbing. He by the way, said he was sucked.
Ooh, that is 7.5 feet. That looks like a good time. I don't know why it's in a knot all of a sudden.
Well, that's how it was in his body, was in a knot, and that was what was creating problems. And then, yeah, they stretched it out, and it looks like a nice thick piece of linguine with some spaghetti sauce on it, except that's his blood.
You know what? I get going into the hospital not just saying, I put this in my urethra, I can't find it. But I don't get being like, I can't pee, I don't know why. Do some tests. What I would say is if I, like, ask me, you're the doctor at the hospital. I walked in, ask me if you can help me.
So you don't do this in Japanese, because, yeah, that's, we'll do it in English.
Oh, he's from Japan?
I believe so,
Huge shock.
Wait, I'm the doctor, right? I was too busy setting up that sweet Japanese joke information. We did find something that seems to...
No! I just walked into the hospital.
Yes.
All you have to do, your only job is to say, how can I help you?
How can I help you?
I can't find my jump rope.
Are you suffering?
That's it. That's the end of the bit. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for being a brick wall I can throw a tennis ball up against.
I think it delivered. I think it worked.
Yeah, it did. It was entertaining. What is this guy's okay now?
Yeah, I think he was fine. I don't know if I really...
I don't think it's even that embarrassing for a 78-year-old man. I think everyone's kind of like, oh, cool. Like, you're passing the time.
I think it's impressive that he was able to do it. It was difficult to extract, they said, because of the length of the rope and the entanglement in the bladder. And this is all from a medical journal. Professor Toshiki Kijama, who's the co-author of the study, said, traditionally, grasping forceps and retrieval baskets are used to remove the foreign bodies. However, in this case, wires were inserted into the bladder. Wires inserted into the bladder usually curl up as the bladder contracts. Therefore, special consideration was required for wire-like foreign bodies. So I don't know. They created some special wires here to get up there.
Here's my impression of a 78-year-old Japanese man who's just come out of surgery in the hospital after they remove 7.5 feet of jump rope from my urethra. Thanks. See you guys next week. I wonder if one of his grandkids gave him that jump rope for his birthday.
It didn't have a handle. They were quick to say no handle. Or maybe it took the handle
I think
off.
That would be the gross part. But it has a handle now. We took it off.
Must be a thin... I don't know. So a couple of radio hosts last week yucking it up when one of them laughed a little too hard. Sean Morash of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm familiar with the DA show. Was cracking up so hard that he pooped his pants live on air. They were laughing. He suddenly went to the floor and he said, I just went in my pants, before just taking his earphones off and heading out. He later returned and explained it.
This is bad. This is bad form. It's unprofessional. I get that these things happen. It's funny that he laughed so hard on the air that he pooped himself. But if you just get up and you're like, I gotta take a break for a minute. Everyone kind of knows what happened. Leave it up to the imagination a little bit. The fact that he came back and took off his underwear and showed his underwear to them is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Aaron shits himself once a week on this podcast, and he never mentions it. He's a pro.
I believe he did earlier this episode. He's amazing. This guy came back and explained it too much.
Way
as
too
well.
Much.
Do you want to hear some of the quotes when he came back?
Yes.
He said, I don't even know what this means, but he says, I laughed too hard up and friction down.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, but that's exactly what he said. I listened to it too. He said, luckily, it wasn't major poundage. It was just a little wet.
Okay. Gross.
Why do these shows... Yeah. I guess it felt like a show where you would want to talk about shitting your pants. It's just like that was...
It's a sports radio show.
I can't imagine how slow a news day it would be. That you'd be like, I hope I shit myself so I can make a meal out of this.
He actually explained it on another podcast later that day. So he turned it into content. And he said, don't be afraid to admit if you make it in your pants. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the human body. And his co-host pushed back a little. She thought maybe there is something wrong with it. Like, how many times has this happened to you? And he says, maybe as an adult, and he looked like he's a guy in his 40s, maybe 30s. And he said he's done it 7 times, which means you have a problem. That's too many times.
I mean, it depends on, like, is it from the beginning? He's got a problem with his memory. If he remembers every time he pooped himself. I think if you pee yourself a little bit when you're laughing, it's funny. You poop a little bit, you keep it to yourself. It's okay. You can say, I laugh too much. I got to take a break for a second. Again, everyone knows what that means. And we keep on moving it along. This guy should be fired. He should be fired from his job.
No one knows what it means. You're like, everyone knows what's happened when you fall on the floor and you laugh too hard and you say, hey, I need a minute. I would not assume that person pooped in his pants.
Everyone's laughing. All of a sudden, somebody gets a little more serious and is like, I've got to take a break for a second. Takes off their headphones, leaves the room, and comes back 5 minutes later. I think you know what happened. You might not know specifics.
No way.
Yes.
The seven times thing, and maybe this says more about me and you than and about Sean Morash than anything, but when I read the seven times things, I was like, see a doctor. If you're pooping in your pants, like, on the regular, you've got some medical issues here.
I wouldn't laugh anymore. I'd find a new line of work if I pooped myself ever. I've never laughed so hard I pooped.
No, that's what I'm saying. I didn't poop my pants.
And I've never come close. I've never been like, thank God that wasn't funnier. I would have shit myself in front of God and everyone else.
Some people do pee in their pants. They say that like a little leaks out or whatever.
I've done that.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time it happened, but it's happened.
Maybe you just haven't been funny enough. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that pee joke to really unlock me.
All these are hospital related, really.
They really are. Mary Brown was a nurse, and she had a plan. And her plan involved her taxidermy shop that her family owns. And she planned to take a 62-year-old patient's amputated foot from the hospital that she worked at, amputate it, and put it in the window of her shop and hang a sign that said, "Wear your boots, kids." I think she thought this was funny. I don't think it was like a public service to wearing boots, but it was like a bit. And she had told the people in her family that this was her plan. I think it was a great plan. But the problem was she did not have permission to amputate this patient's foot. And that, my friend, is what is called a felony.
Let me ask some questions here.
Yeah.
So she didn't want to sell the foot. She wanted to use it to put the foot in the window. Like, we can't buy that foot. That's our foot. But come on into our taxidermy shop and check out some of the squirrels we have in here.
Don't know.
We got an owl, maybe?
I think it was for sale. I mean, it would have been up in the shop. But she just thought this was like a funny bit. To the point that she told the other nurses, and we can get into the details, but ultimately she's going to go to jail, I believe. She hasn't been sentenced yet, but the evidence seems strong because she told the other nurses who were there when she amputated the foot this same exact plan about putting up the sign, just like she had told other members of her family. I think she just thought this was either the greatest plan ever to sell a foot, or more likely, I think she thought it was funny, and she just like wanted to tell this bit to everyone. And now that she did, she's guilty, and she's gonna be in trouble.
But where did the joke start? Did someone come in and need an amputation? She's like, oh, I'm gonna take their foot and put it in the window, or was she like, I gotta get a foot from somebody. I gotta get somebody's foot. There'll be something. It's gotta be a foot. It can't be a hand. It can't be something. It's gotta be a foot.
I think based on the reading I did, that she had a candidate, this guy was in there, and she thought his foot was needed to come off or could come off, and that she could get away with it, and it'd be a perfect combo with the taxidermy shop. Maybe she's always dreamed of this, but she had a patient that was maybe on his in his final days and was slightly coherent, and his foot was all messed up and was diseased.
Like a diabetes situation kind of thing?
I'm not exactly sure, but some sort of like fungus, and it was wrapped up and there was, you know, wrapping around it, and that he was going to die and most likely soon anyways. And she tried to get permission to amputate his foot. And they were like, no, there's no medical reason to do it. Yes, the foot's in bad, you know, shape, but he's probably going
to
die anyways.
And when you say she wanted to do it, like, and they didn't get, like, was she asking the doctors to do it and she would take the foot, or she was going to do it herself, World War, like, Civil War style?
I don't know, but I think she was going to have the doctors do it. But in the end, she did do it herself.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe she was going to do it to begin with, and that she just knows how to amputate a foot. But she was holding the man. The other nurses who were there said that they were surprised by it. That they were like there holding the man's, and suddenly they looked over and the other nurse is amputating it. Sounds pretty traumatic.
I'll tell you that there are some bad apples in the nursing community. I don't trust them. Listen, nursing, it's a honorable profession, but there are some fucking crazies in there. There are some wackadoos on the nursing circuit. I'll tell you that right now. And this bitch has got to go. She should go to jail forever.
I think she's going to jail. It seems like a pretty open and shut case. They admitted it, and they admitted that the man never asked to do so, and she admitted that the procedure was beyond the scope of her work, and it's a problem. The only reason she was even caught, though, was because a few days later, the guy did die, and the medical examiner of the guy's body was just like, what the fuck happened here? And he started doing a little digging and basically found out what had happened and ended up getting her in trouble.
So the foot never got to the window? She never actually did
the taxidermy? I think she got that foot.
She got the foot, but how long does it take to taxidermy a severed foot?
I don't know that, Anthony.
I don't know. Do you know what the greatest severed foot joke is in stand-up comedy history?
Please.
Aaron, do you know?
No.
I'll give you a hint. Mitch Hedberg.
I want to hear Anthony say it, not Aaron.
A severed foot is the perfect stocking stuffer.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
And now it's time for
ad copy.
Helix is back. I've loved having my Helix mattress for
Midnight
a
Deluxe.
Long time. We got the Lux. Yeah, Midnight Deluxe. We both got the same one. It's soft. It's beautiful. Actually, I got mine a little hard. You can choose, though, whether you get it extra firm, you get it soft. I mixed it up there. But you can also get them for your pet. Did you know that?
I did not.
You can get it for your child. Now they have mattresses made just for kids. I remember last time I asked Helix, send me a kid mattress. I guess I should reach out kind of behind the scenes. It didn't happen, but I still would love that kid mattress. You want to know why? Because Ellis was on our mattress the other day. Does not happen very often. I think she was just like kind of came in and was jumping around while I was doing some laundry, and she was just like, oh, your bed is so nice. I was like, that's a Helix mattress.
Why don't you get your daughter a Helix kid mattress for Christmas?
Okay. I think that would make sense. I could have her take the Helix sleep quiz. You find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. It's a personalized mattress. It's shipped straight to your door free of charge. I live on a street with a bunch of mattress stores, and I look at them and it looks sad inside. I do not want to go inside and deal with all that. I love having it just delivered straight to your doors. And you're answering all your questions on the website that you would answer in person anyways. You have a 100-night risk-free trial, so if it's not the mattress for you, you can get rid of it or get a different mattress if you want. American-made, it comes with a 10 or 15-year warranty. Again, you can try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress by GQ and Wired magazine. If you overheat, are you an overheater?
Yeah.
I am too. They have a special cooling features. You can pick this all out on the website. It's really easy. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders. Two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/JRVP with Helix. Better sleep starts now.
You know, here's a challenge for our listeners and our viewers on the YouTube. Find someone you need to get a Christmas present for. All right. Someone close to you. Someone you don't live with. Send them a Helix mattress. And then just with a note that says, hang on to this for me for a little bit. You can use it if you want. And then a year later, say Merry Christmas.
I mean, okay. I mean, then they have to keep their old bed, which, you know, beds take up a lot of room. So you might not have the space. Like if your friend lives in New York, it's kind of putting a lot on them. But it's a good bit. Mm-hmm. It's a good joke.
It's a solid joke. Solid bit.
You know what's a solid sponsor?
Athletic Greens.
Athletic Greens. What if this week's read of Athletic Greens was a musical? We just came up with our own special.
You know, I had an Athletic Greens song I was singing to Liz, and Liz was like, why don't you sing this on the air? I was like, because they don't pay me enough. But I sing the praises of Athletic Greens. I wish I could remember the
Athletic Greens. I wish I could remember it too. Athletic Greens. I'm not doing it.
I don't remember. But I had a whole song. I had verses to this song. But I love Athletic Greens. I drink it every morning first thing. Again, 10 ounces of water. Throw it in there. I'm a huge fan. I got my little like cookie jar, my screw top lid in the fridge. I'm all about it. I wake up in the morning. I make myself one. I make Liz one.
Same.
I drink mine early. Liz comes down a little bit after me, and she picks it up and sips on it. But I love it. I love it first thing. I feel good. My gut health is incredible. I was one of my openers, Blair Sochi, was saying that she started doing it and feels great. She definitely notices a difference, that it is worth checking out. And once you check it out, you're never going to want to check out of that hotel.
The Athletic Greens Hotel. I want to hear that song. I used to live with Anthony. He's definitely a make a song up about random shit around the house type of guy. So am I. Those are the best type of guys. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. I love those travel packs. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Again, athleticgreens.com/JRVP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to our last headline.
Last headline.
An 8-year-old boy named Deepak in India was in a classic tough spot. That's what I would call it, tough spot. He's 8, and as sometimes happens in India, a cobra had wrapped himself around the boy's arm and bitten him. And that's not like me being weird. There's a lot more cobra attacks in India in general compared to the rest of the world. I was reading the stats. So the boy thought to do something only a badass would do. He bit the fuck back twice, and the cobra died. Victory, Deepak.
It doesn't sound like it's that crazy. I mean, the fact that it's an 8-year-old boy and the fact that the boy lived and the cobra died. But I would think if a cobra wraps itself around your arm, you don't have your flute. What are you going to do? You got to bite it. Because that would maybe grab the cobra's head and try to get it off you. But it's like, what was going on with his other
supposedly
arm?
Supposedly, he tried to get it off and he couldn't. And he said then just he was in a panic. And the next thing he did was bite it hard a couple times. Fatality. Deepak wins.
I'm pro Deepak. I would think Deepak is ruling the school right now.
Right. That's what I mean.
I think all the kids want to be him, and the teachers are scared shitless. Teachers are staying away from Deepak. Deepak's not learning a goddamn thing.
I was confused because why would a bite from the boy kill the cobra? But I guess what you're making a face, like, of course it killed him.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
I don't know. It's got to be a strong bite, first of all. I don't know. Like, I love my son.
It didn't say he kissed the cobra to death. He bit it. He probably bit the head off.
I love my son. Do I believe my son could bite something hard enough to kill it, a snake, much less react like that? I don't know. I don't know if he's got the Deepak in him.
Lay for death? The cobra okay. Around your arm?
Okay.
Did you ever see the movie Monkey Shines?
No.
Okay, listen, Aaron, have you ever seen Monkey Shines?
I have a weird memory of seeing it as a kid, but I don't.
It's based on a Stephen King story or a novel, and it sucks. I remember it as a kid because it had one of those little monkeys that has like the cymbals, that bangs the cymbals, you know, like it's a wind-up toy. And so this guy is paralyzed. Mm. He's paralyzed from the neck down. He's in one of those chairs, and they bring him this monkey to like a helper monkey, but the monkey's evil. And at the end of the movie, the monkey is going to kill him. The monkey's got a syringe, and it's coming towards him with a syringe. And you see the guy, and the guy is just like moving his finger. He's paralyzed. And they're like, I think it might even be a thing where like it's all in your head. You're not really paralyzed. And you see his finger moving a tiny bit. It's like, is he going to be able to move his body and stop this monkey from killing him? And you just keep on going to the finger, going to the monkey, going to the finger, going to the monkey. And then right as the monkey's right about here, the guy goes, ah! And bites down on the monkey and kills the monkey with his teeth. And I'm getting strong Deepak vibes.
Yeah. I want to go see the movie now, although you spoiled it.
It doesn't matter. The whole movie's building up to that moment, and it is great. Watched it on New Year's Day once, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, he said it all happened in a flash, Deepak, because he was interviewed by the local news, and he was in great pain, and it's just was his reaction. And the reason he didn't die or suffer was because the cobra gave what's called a dry bite. Mature cobras can choose to bite people, I guess, in this case, or enemies, if they don't want to actually send the venom out. Like, mm-hmm. more as a warning to, like, leave me the F alone. So the snake actually was kind of trying to do Deepak a solid.
Snake was being a bro, and he regrets it now for sure. He's like, I should have had a wet bite. I should have gone wet on that one. I went, this is probably the one time that snake's gone dry, and he paid for it with his life. More power to Deepak. I feel like Deepak, like, move over Dr. Chopra. There's a new Deepak is number one in town.
Why, like, the most excited that you've been this whole show is when I told you it was a wet bite. Anthony's eyes just lit up.
It was a dry bite.
Dry bite.
I get excited. I get excited whenever this podcast is almost over. And now it's time for...
Choo-choo!
Recommendation station, Greg.
I am recommending a book. It's called Second Place. It's by Rachel Cusk. You may remember we've recommended the Outline Trilogy by Rachel Cusk, which is awesome. Rachel Cusk, I think, is one of our favorites. This book was recommended by Anthony, like, right when it came out, and I don't care. I loved it. I think I loved it even more than Anthony. I would describe Rachel Cusk as a writer, as the writer that has the most, like, lines, like, sentence-length lines. It sort of reminds me of you, that are so concise and pack so much into one line that I just have to mark it in my book. She does that more than any author I know. There was just like 50 lines in this book that are so, like, either cold-blooded or just like crystal clear about what life is like, or just intelligent and makes you think, that, like, I just love reading her. The plot's great. I mean, the plot kept me going. It's about an artist that visits this woman's property where she has a second house. He's this famous artist that she has a little bit of a mental history with, and it goes on from there of what type of guest he is. But that's almost secondary to me. I just like being sort of inside the mind of Rachel Cusk, and I love that she was following up kind of a career-making trilogy that she had. She was already very well known, but, like, the Outline Trilogy will probably outlive her, and I really recommend it. And this was the first thing she did after it, which is such a hard thing as an artist, and I think, like, she nailed it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, great book. I loved it as well, and it's one that I think of. I read a lot of books, and I'm like, oh, I don't remember what that was about, but I remember this very vividly. Great book.
Second Place.
Second Place by Rachel Cusk. I'm recommending two books this week. Because of the way that I read them. Like, I, a long time ago, maybe like, you know, months ago, I get these lists of, like, most anticipated books of the fall. And I had pre-ordered a book called The Lemon by S.E. Boyd. And I'm like, I must have read the description. It sounded like something was up my alley, but I ordered it way in advance. So I was like, oh, interesting. And I was waiting a little bit. And then I picked up a book that I had bought a few weeks ago. It's called Down and Out in Paradise, The Life of Anthony Bourdain. And it was a controversial, because his family, like, did not like this book. His friends weren't all about it. A lot of people didn't talk to this writer who kind of gave a warts and all portrait of Anthony Bourdain. People, it's like, there's a lot of hero worship, and there are reasons for that. It's like, some of it is you want to protect your friend's legacy. Some of it is money. But I read the book, and it really is warts and all, but a more human portrait of him. But it was interesting, but also, like, it kind of left me with a bad feeling. I didn't love reading it.
Didn't you watch that documentary too?
I did, and I didn't like
that. Isn't that a warts and all one?
Not really. It's more like yeah, it's great. And I mean, it buries that Aja Argento woman for sure, more than even the documentary did. But it was an interesting read, the Bourdain book. Again, Down and Out in Paradise, The Life of Anthony Bourdain by Charles Learson. But it kind of made me feel dirty. And then my next book, I was like, let me just pick up this book, The Lemon. The Lemon is about a celebrity chef who has a TV show and accidentally hangs himself in his hotel room trying to masturbate. And then it's all his people in his orbit trying to cover it up and make it seem like it was a suicide. And reading those two back to back was amazing. That if you want to read either book, I recommend reading them back to back. Read Down and Out in Paradise, The Life of Anthony Bourdain by Charles Learson, and then read The Lemon by S.E. Boyd. And The Lemon, I think, is a superior book. If you didn't know anything about Anthony Bourdain, the book would still hold up and be a great book. I really did enjoy it. But reading them back to back was awesome. And I wouldn't have recommended the Anthony Bourdain book if not for this. But back to back, it's a double whammy banger.
Feels like a speedball. You got to be careful.
It's true. It's true. And that was recommendation station. Debbie, I'm sorry we said the C word. We got to do it sometimes, baby. It's comedy. Get us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball. Is that okay, Greggy?